You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Now, if you go to newchurches.com today, newchurches.com/register, if you're not yet a free or a plus member, we'll send you actually three research reports for free. The first one is the U.S. State of Church Planning. The second one is the State of Church Planning in Canada. And the last one is Multiplication Today, Movements Tomorrow. So that's all based on the research that we've recently conducted on church planting. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Oh, I got to say something now. First time in 100-plus episodes, I made it through. I held my breath the whole time.
So. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think our audience was wondering if I was flying solo today.
Yes, right. That's right. I'm not. Ed Stetzer's not with us today.
Yeah. Well, today we are going to read a review from N. Schutz. He or she left a review called Pumped, 5 stars on iTunes. And here it is. Here is the podcast at its core. Planting a church is possible, and with God, you can do it. I'm a bivocational planter, and it's tough, but you guys encourage as you drop the knowledge. Keep teaching and keep encouraging us to spread the gospel. Your words, I love this, your words have come across my pulpit more than once. You are getting in my head, and I love it. Pastor Nathan, that's his name. So,
wow,
Nathan,
that's awesome.
Thanks.
And bivocational pastor, we love bivocational pastors.
We
you
do.
Are our heroes.
Yes. So be sure to send me an email, Nathan, daniel@newchurches.com. And you know what? Because you're a bivocational pastor, we'll actually send you not just the Moleskine notebook and pen, but we'll send you a book. We'll send you one of our books as well. So be sure to send over that email and we'll get you some swag. Well, today's question.
Stuff. I love that.
Yeah, well, because we love
heart.
Bivocational.
People wonder if you have a heart, because it's like talking to Data when I talk to you from like Star Trek The Next Generation. But you actually do have a heart, and I like to see that.
Well, we love bivocational planners.
Amen.
Right? So keep on going, Nathan. So here is Alvin's question. Let's listen in.
So the question I had, it's a question I've kind of struggled with for a while, is with a brand new church plant and a church plant that has to set up every weekend, how do you keep the volunteers that are coming in to help you set up from burning out?
All right. Well, I mean, it's a real question. I've set up, I don't know how many Sundays set up and torn down. And it's funny because I don't know how your experience was, Ed, with this, but I mean, there are a few guys who are always there. I mean, this was their ministry. They were the faithful few. And then there are others who just kind of would do it for a week and be done, or do it there for a month and kind of be in and out. So, I mean, what are some of your thoughts, Ed?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have good news, I have bad news. Okay, so I think for some people, they're going to burn out. I mean, there is a good amount of churn in the setup ministry. Now, so a couple things that may help with that. First, you mentioned some people, they're week in and week out. I mean, there's some people who love this stuff. Now, there's, matter of fact, for some people, and again, we've got great super setup people. I shouldn't say that. I'm the interim pastor of Moody Church now. I'm not at Grace Church, but I keep talking about it as if I'm pastoring Grace Church like I was a couple of months ago. But at Grace Church, we have some great setup people, super sharp people, but also can be a great place for people who maybe haven't fit in another place, but man, they could feel meaningful, valued. Give them some t-shirts, mm-hmm. Tell them they're going to be in charge of plugging in cords, and they are excited about it. So, but we also have, one of our elders, we also had in my last church, one of our elders was there regularly. And, he's a physician. Yeah. He just prioritizes this. So he's one of those faithful people. So what I would say is look for people who this would be an incredibly meaningful outlet to them. And it will be for mm-hmm. some. Look for people who are willing to just be faithful, but do acknowledge that this is a natural place for burnout. So a couple of things. Try to work to have multiple teams. So yeah. It's not just one setup crew. Now, that means you're going to have some, written policies, or policies is the wrong term, procedures to sort of lay out how to do things so that, when you pack the trailer, it actually is consistently packed from week to week. So in the right order, because you can pull it out, So you want to have multiple teams. Second, I would encourage that you actually have some team leaders And in our case, we actually thought that this was worthy of a deacon. So we actually had a deacon oversee this. And so we had, when we appointed deacons, we had a deacon oversee this area, and then team leaders put together a team. Thirdly, we celebrate them regularly. I would often get up, or Jimmy, who's now the pastor of the church, but then was the executive pastor, we'd say, listen, if you were here setting up this morning, stand up. I just want to say thank you. You are awesome. And kind of lay that out there. I'm trying to think of other things that we've done. But again, I guess we have to constantly recruit, because there is some turnover in this area of ministry. But when you see it as a ministry and you help people to understand the value of it, it doesn't make it less challenging, but it makes it maybe more meaningful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Alvin, you may think about and think about setting up and be like, oh man, that's redundant, or how can anyone be happy doing that? But I mean, honestly, there were volunteers in my previous churches who, and even in my current church, that, I mean, they loved doing it. Right. What we would often do is we would get there. I mean, the times when I would help out, I mean, you know, get the trailer at 6:30, 6 a.m. in the morning, drive on over to the church. The volunteers are there, you know, done by 7:38. And then the worship team starts practicing. And then the whole setup crew, they went for coffee. Right. They went and grabbed donuts. They just kind of hung out. And I mean, honestly, for these people, I mean, this was their group. I mean, this was their fellowship. This is where they developed the relationships and got connected. So, I mean, don't underestimate the power of serving together and how that will help community and help build camaraderie, build fellowship, and actually move towards even having spiritual conversations. Because, I mean, we had that as well. We had opportunities where people would, you know, after setting up, be like, hey, you know, this is actually what's going on in my life. And we had opportunities to minister to them. Here's the other thing, Alvin. I mean, resist the temptation to do it yourself. Resist the temptation even to lead the team yourself, and resist the temptation to hire people to do it for you, or even to give stipends or little gift cards to those who are volunteering, because that's not a scalable strategy. Like Ed said, you need leaders. You need leaders of leaders, right? I mean, one thing we did with our setup teams is we would ask them to do 2 weeks on, 4 weeks off. 2 weeks on, 4 weeks off. And by doing that, by having enough teams to be able to do that, I mean, it was a healthy rhythm, enough of a, hey, yeah, let's build relationships, enough of a rhythm to know and remember what needs to be done, but not often enough that it would lead to burnout.
Yeah. And you mentioned that these groups kind of form community. We never went that direction, though we debated it. I know some who have, where we actually like form like life groups around setup crews. Now again, there's a sense that, you know, people come in, who brings the donuts, who brings the breakfast, we all get together. And people actually come in early sometimes, even though we might set up at 6 or 7, because there's a sense of community that's there. But they weren't a kind of a community group. Were they for you, or how did that work?
No, they weren't official community groups for us, but they were ways for us to, it was a stepping stone for people to figure out who they wanted to get into a group with. Right. So, I mean, we would have people who weren't plugged into any community. They would come, they would get, you know, they would develop relationships, because, you know, I mean, for the brand new person who is not in a group, it's one of the hardest things for them to do is to break into a group and to figure out which one they want to go to, and even to feel connected in community, especially if they're going in blind. Right. So by coming to our setup, by helping out, by serving shoulder to shoulder with others, they were able to develop friendships. And when those people ask them to join their group, they are more likely to get involved and plugged in that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. But I still think there's something to it. And I know you agree, but there's something to that is a community-oriented place. If it's just, oh, here we all come drudging in, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I think building community there is good. But again, I know some people who've actually made ministry teams that then were, you know, life groups or small groups. Most all of our people who set up, I think not all of them, but most of them, were actually in other groups. So that wasn't part of our structure, but it was part of the ethos. Man, these were just, and it was mostly men, you know, and it doesn't have to be, but in our case, it was mostly men. And they kind of get together. Matter of fact, I think it was the vast majority, most of our teams were men. There might be one that had a couple of women on it, but the men would just get together, and there was a lot of grunting and a lot of doing this. And you know, the joke was, if you didn't, you know, I mean, I would come sometimes. Now I should, you know, lest any of people from our church are listening. I did not come a lot, but I did come some. And when I did, you know, I remember I cut my finger once, and it was like, oh, everyone's got to shed a little blood on the setup team. Oh, shut up! But the point is everyone's got to shed a little blood on the setup team, and so there's a part of the culture.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, if you're a church planter or a campus pastor and setting up, to just roll in, saunter in, 15 minutes before the church starts with your own coffee in hand and just talk to people and say, hey, I'm kind of above you, or I have more important. I mean, that's kind of the feeling you sometimes can convey if that's what you do. So, I mean, that's where it's important. When I was serving as a campus pastor, that I didn't go in every week either. But I would go in often enough to show them that, hey, I want to do this side by side. But I didn't lead the team. I went in as a volunteer. I made sure someone else was the one who was leading the setup. And I was just like, hey, I'm just here to help out. And I would help out and connect and really get to know the people who are serving when I did come out.
Yeah, it's a good word. It's a good word. And again, I think partly reminding people why they're here, you know, reminding people what they're doing is kind of a key thing. And so continuing to do that, I think at the end of the day, is important. And again, I think for us still, but let me say all those things, still with all those things, expect churn, constantly recruit new people, make it a, you know, part of the ministry fair. You know, if you have like a ministry fair after church, make sure you have someone represented for the setup team. And I will tell you, just to be honest, I planted, you know, a bunch of churches. I'm trying to think how many were facilitated-less. And we've set up in skating rinks and movie theaters are actually pretty good because you've got, you know, more, yeah, you got the chairs. Yeah. And, you know, that's been real nice. And even with the kids' rooms are in the movie theater. You know, I've set up in high schools and I've set up in a VFW hall or American Legion hall, excuse me, and a hotel. And I got to tell you, it's just always hard. That's why people get buildings, you know? So, you know, I got to tell you, at Moody Church, I love the fact that we got seats already, you know, so that's nice. But I would say that there are churches that make this work forever. I mean, there are churches that have been now nomad churches for decades, and I think there's something of value to that, but it just requires a long-term commitment to service.
Yeah, and I mean, that's for them, it's an intentional thing, right? That they've intentionally, even if you look at the story of Austin Stone, I mean, that was a hugely intentional part of what they were doing as well, you know, in terms of budget allocation. Obviously, they were ministering largely to college students, but I mean, even in terms of budget allocation and how they want to do that, I mean, that was a big part of what they were doing. Well, good stuff. I mean, thank you again for submitting that question, Alvin. Be sure to submit other questions. Those of you who are, you know, our community here, thanks again for listening into the podcast. Be sure to leave a review for us if you haven't yet done so. But yeah, send in those questions and we would love to answer them. We'll catch you next time.